You're listening to Improvisations, and we're very lucky to have a guest in the studio. It's Tom Lundberg, and he has a new record out. It's called Prime Time, and it's full of great music and Knoxville musicians. Tom, thanks for coming in.
My pleasure, Todd. Glad to be here.
How does something get from an idea into a physical product that one can hold in their hands? I mean, that's...
This one started actually many decades ago. There's really two people behind this besides myself, principally Terry Vosbein, who he and I went to different high schools together in the early 70s in Atlanta and started collaborating musically and also exploring music, took trips to New York to hear jazz and see shows and just see what was out there as young 20-somethings. And he went on to really develop his compositional craft and has landed a job and sponsored a regular concert series over the years at Washington and Lee University up in Lexington, Virginia. And I've been privileged to be a part of quite a few of the projects up there over time. And some of the guys that are on this project have also been up there. I think at least four or five of the guys had been up there before for previous projects. So Terry has a lot to do with this. And the other guy that's behind it is David Slack, the bass player on the project. David and I have known each other for a number of years here, and I've been aware of his affinity for television music for quite some time. He's had a little project quartet, I'd say, that has offered up arrangements and improvisations on television themes. And he's expanded that a time or two. We're colleagues at Pellissippi State, and we've had a couple opportunities to grow that concept by adding other instruments, principally horns, and then creating little medleys for one occasion or another. So I went to David early on and asked him if he would be interested in collaborating with Terry and myself toward this end. And he was all ears, eager, willing, and submitted a few of his lead sheets. And we just spent a lot of last year throwing ideas back and forth and then eventually shopping them around in terms of trying to ascertain which tunes would be easiest to gain the rights for so that eventually you could hold a physical CD in your hand that does have permission to be played.
What are your favorite tracks on here, or do you have favorites?
Well, it probably depends on the day. It's a live concert, and I love the spirit, and I think there's a variety of moods that come about from the different tunes. I was just listening through it again on the way down, and one that really stuck with me on this last listen was the take that we had on Frasier. And it particularly put David in a good light as both the purveyor of the melody of the tune as well as his bowed solo.
From his new recording, it's called Prime Time. That was the theme from Frasier. Tom Lundberg on the trombone, David Slack on the bass, and Tom is our guest on this evening's improvisations. By the way, I just want to confess, I have never, ever watched the show Frasier, not even once. What other favorites on this recording exist for you?
The Mary Tyler Moore theme. You know, that song, Love is All Around. It's just happy in its spirit. And I think that the guys and gal all went after it with that in mind. And I think that it sounds that way from everybody's performance.
when you did the concert up at Washington and Lee, what was the reaction? Because it's an evening full of songs that a lot of people are going to at least have a fairly good knowledge of, but not these arrangements.
Well, that's true. It was interesting in that, you know, we were on a college campus, so many of the young folks didn't connect with this music at all, really. And then the interested faculty, staff, and townspeople that came out that were music lovers closer to our generation really embraced what we were doing, and it triggered for them lots of memories, lots of little antidotes that would come out as a result.
Well, that's what it did for me, you know, because as soon as I the CD came in and I unsheathed it from its protective packaging and pulled it out, I went, oh, this is something I'm going to like. And then I said, hold it, this is local, because it was mailed from somewhere else. It wasn't mailed from Knoxville, I don't think. So I was kind of thrilled just to see the CD. And then I realized it was you. And then I was like, oh, Bethany Hankins, Keith Brown, Harold Nagy, David Slack, Will Boyd, Ben Dockery, Doug Rinaldo. I know all these names. And then I put on the CD, and it was. It was like a nice mix of a lot of different kinds of shows, but the arrangements were all different, you know, in some regard. There's always something. There's always, to me, there's always a little twist in every one of them. And one thing I didn't realize was the Jeopardy theme was written by Merv Griffin.
True, and there's an interesting story behind that. You know, his show came out in the mid-60s, and I forget what it was called back then, but it took a year or two or three for them to come up with the title Jeopardy. And he originally composed that as a lullaby for one of his kids. And he used it on that opening show, and then, of course, it was retained for Jeopardy. And somebody asked him one time, you know, how much it was worth to him. And he just chuckled and said, $10 million. Hard to believe, a guy that really wasn't a composer, per se. In fact, the concert itself was bookended. We opened the show with the Muppet theme, which Jim Henson had a hand in on. And Jim did so many things creatively, writing-wise, production-wise, but wasn't really thought of as a composer. Now, he did collaborate on this tune with Sam Waddell, who did some Broadway work over the years. And then we closed the concert with the Jeopardy theme, which was the other essentially non-composer on the program. The other guys were all very well known specifically for their compositional contributions across many genres, most of them.
And I'm kind of curious, was there a theme song that didn't make the cut for whatever reason, that you had one in mind?
There were quite a few. In fact, I submitted to Terry a short list of about 25 tunes. And many folks will ask us, for example, why wasn't All in the Family on there?
And Dragnet. Why not Dragnet?
Absolutely. There's so many really great things out there.
Get Smart.
Some of them, it came down to rights and royalties, you know, really a wrestling match, how easy or difficult it would be to gain clearance to be able to produce this CD.
And apart from the music of all these shows, apart from the music itself, which of the shows represented on the CD are your favorite actual television shows?
Well, Monk was just absolutely quirky. Night Court was a hoot. Mannix, I grew up with. You know, it was one of the first things that I remember as a kid was Mission Impossible and Lalo Schifrin. And I didn't, you know, I had kind of a sheltered upbringing musically in that we didn't have a television until I was 7. And, you know, we didn't get out much. We were in the shadow of New York City, but I didn't really get to hear a lot of jazz. I heard some symphony things as a kid. But when shows like Mission Impossible came on, which was one of the approved shows, Batman was another approved show when I was a kid, I was just fascinated by not only the surf rock thing that was happening with the Batman sound and the Wrecking Crew kind of sound that was coming out then, but also the jazz-infused orchestrations that Lalo Schifrin had for Mission Impossible just completely thrilled me as much or more than the scenes. It was just really something in my world. So then when he came along with Mannix, I naturally, without realizing at first that it was more Lalo Schifrin music, attached myself to that show as well.
You know, it's kind of interesting. When you go back and watch some of the shows, you know, on TV Land or the other channels, how nice it is to hear composed music played by musicians on these TV shows, you know, sometimes full orchestras, whereas today you might hear, well, even on Seinfeld, it wasn't even a real bass doing those little interludes. It was just a bass sample, which was cool. It was very effective and very unique. But I do say I miss full-on composed music in TV shows.
True, me too. I don't watch a whole lot of television these days. I'm not as attached to the content as I was back then, and I don't think I have as much time to dedicate to it as I did. I also wonder, some of this stuff that's on here and a lot of the other material from the 70s, 80s, 90s, 60s has a lot of staying power, and I'm curious as to if there's musical content out there now in some of these shows that will be around 10, 20, 40 years from now. I guess time will tell.
That's a good question.
We'll have to stick around.
I'll do my best.
Me too.
Where did you mention growing up and not having TV in the house? Where did you grow up?
I was born in Summit, New Jersey, and spent the first 12 years of my life in Berkeley Heights, which was Union County. We had a train line into New York City. I got to get to the World's Fair in 64. And do a few trips into the city. My dad picked up a Saturday gig teaching at Brooklyn Poly, so oftentimes I would get to go into town and go to the Empire State Building or the Statue of Liberty or something while he was teaching a class, and then we'd meet up and maybe do a family thing for the rest of the day. Moved south for seventh grade for desegregation. Ended up in a small town in South Carolina for that event. That was eye-opening. Ended up finishing high school in suburban Atlanta. And that's where I started running into Terry.
And how'd you end up in Knoxville?
Well, that's a good question, too. I'd spent 18 years in Nashville. And while I was there, a friend of mine was in Sevier County. And he wasn't involved in music at all. He was a businessman. And he kept poking me and saying, you know, Tom, you ought to invest in Sevier County land. It'll never go down in value. And he was right. Sometime in the late 80s, I started shopping a little bit, looking around, had a couple bucks in my pocket. And I ended up finding a piece of land, 35-acre tract, for the price of a lot. It's probably the only financial move that I've made in my life that was really something that paid off. Now, the problem with that was that, yes, it was an investment, but I fell in love with it. And within a few years, I was trying to craft a way, an idea to build a cabin on the land. And the next thing I knew, that was coming to fruition. Be careful what you wish for. So in 1998, there was an opening, Lee Greenwood's the reason that I got over here. His first trombone player over here saw fit to go back to Las Vegas. So he had a room for somebody to come in, and I auditioned. And that was the catalyst that got me out of Nashville and got me set up over here.
What year was that when you started playing with Greenwood?
98.
Okay.
That was the third year out of his five-year residency in his theater production show.
You may be able to help me solve a mystery I've been working on for a long time, and it could happen right here on the radio.
What's that?
Or it may fail. All right, this has nothing to do with anything, but it's everything to me. All right, so years ago, around 99, I bought a guitar. It was a Telecaster, kind of like a non-standard Telecaster. didn't have the standard neck on it, and some people even told me they don't even think it's a Fender guitar. But it's my favorite guitar I've ever owned. I bought it at Pick and Grin, and I asked, whose guitar was this? What's the story behind it? Because I can't believe anybody would sell this guitar, because it just, to me, played and sounded perfect. He said, it's Lee Greenwood's guitar player's guitar. He didn't need another one. He's got plenty. And I've been trying to figure out who that might have been in 1999.
Well, in 99, in fact, the guy that I believe was there the entire residency is a fellow named Jeff Zona. And Jeff, after that, did a residency in Myrtle Beach for a while. And now I wish I could tell you who he's hooked up with, but he's still playing quite a bit. And it seems like he's connected with an artist. And we're Facebook friends, so you will now find him through that. Go to my friends list.
All right, so if
solve that issue.
I don't know if this will make the radio. It'll probably make the podcast, but if I find Jeff Zona, is the owner or former owner of this Telecaster, I'll buy you like a really nice pretzel next time I see you.
Well, I'm all for that.
All right. Hey, Tom Lundberg, the new record is called Primetime, and it's arranged by Terry Vosbein, who we play on the show and on a number of his recordings. I love his work as well. And it features Doug Rinaldo, Bethany Hankins, Harold Nagy, Will Boyd, Ben Dockery, David Slack, and Keith Brown. Tom, thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you, Todd. My pleasure.